Originally, I'm from the island of Tonga, which is in the South Pacific, one of the remaining paradise that still exists today. Well, I came as a child, so it was very excited, actually. When I first got on the plane, when I left Tonga, when I arrived in Hawaii, first time I seen an elevator, an escalator. So I was up the escalator, down the elevator, up the escalator, down the elevator. And that went on for like 2 hours as I was standby in Hawaii. When I got to San Francisco, looking down early morning, you know, the lights were still on. It was just totally amazing. I mean, I would just, as a little kid growing up in a small island, but we'd have little lanterns and flashlight, and electricity did not reach my end of town. But yeah, it was totally amazing. So I was kind of raised pretty much struggling to survive as a kid. It was tough, you know. Then coming to America, and I was 9, just one of very few Polynesian at school. You know, living with my grandparents, and we used to live in a house with so many people, even up to 20 at time, because my grandma's house was where the people coming from Tonga, her family, they arrive. That would be the house of refuge until they get on their feet, then they move on. So when they keep coming, they, you know, grandma never cooked, so I end up had to steal from all the other one cooking. From early childhood, I learned to survive, how to care for myself, how to feed. After I got older, I went off to England and spent 4 years studying up there. I studied in philosophy, and I got to travel Europe, hitchhiking across Czechoslovakia and many parts of Europe. I had the opportunity to invited to Buckingham Palace by the Queen of England. So I was at Buckingham Palace for the Garden Tea Party, and there I met Princess Diana. Wow, one of the most beautiful women you can see. My brother was an investor here in San Francisco, and he did a lot of investment in the Richmond area, and I was not aware of Richmond. He told me, hey, why don't you come up? And I came look, you know, and house then was very, you know, economical. And I saw the potential of Richmond. I didn't know much about the city, but I took my risk. That brought me here in 1999 with my wife and, at the time, 3 little boys. And then I had my daughter born here at Alto Bates. I raised them in what most people would say, the ghetto part. And I've seen not what you call firecrackers. I actually witnessed a shooting and, you know, all this kind of thing all the time, but we somehow immune to that. Our mind was focused, you know, the potential of beauty within, you know, what I would call the rosebud within the thorns. I was able to see the good and everything, and I always taught the boys that, you know, there's no word can't in our vocabulary. Then you always have to raise above, you know, who you are. Humility is how I raised them. And I think raising them in this area, they're able to, matter of fact, they're thanking me now for raising them here, because they see that we get to see, you know, now that we have good education, but we're able to see the other side, how people suffer, you know, how people struggle. It's not the place, but how you raise the kids and how you raise them to feel like they have worth and dignity. And then everything around them is a potential for a greater good. Part of a calling of a deacon is to understand the suffering of the people outside. A deacon is a person who has a family, who is married, and one of their main roles is social justice. We follow what they call Jesus, the servant leader, the person who carry the towel, and then he bent down to wipe the tears of those most vulnerable. Because if you walk tall, like many of deacons and priests and ministers with the collars, they don't recognize people are suffering. But a true person, you know, that's been called to be live your life to a Jesus servant leader, you have to always be on the ground humbled. As a family man, I'm out here with the people. At work, I get to see the homeless. We get to see the immigrants, those forced out of their homes. We get to see what needs to be corrected. For example, safe working environment, fair wages, you know, benefits, insurance. When I look at the chevrons with all the pollutions and all that, my calling is to stand up for injustice wherever each show is faced. From early childhood, it was ingrained in me to be bold and to be strong and to totally believe that, you know, you are your own limitations. And I guess St. Teresa of Avila, the saint, put it best, the only way to fail is to stop. And I try to ingrain it in my children. And I think, you know, coming out of the ghetto here in Richmond, they too become witnesses to the truth that you are your own limitation. At the end of the day, humility is the key to all things, I believe. Humility pretty much does not mean you're weak. It just means you know truth with certainty. You know who you are with a certain degree of certainty. A lot of people are mistaking humility for weakness, but it's really a power that you can hold because it is a strength that you know, you are in control of.